Well, just about out of time here. Thanks again for coming down. If you want to hear some great tunes like this,
this is the jam.
Red, red wine, pour to my head, makes me forget that I still need her so. Red, red wine, it's up to you. All I can do, I've done. Memories won't go. Memories won't go.
Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is a special Love Valentine's Day episode. We're going to be speaking with Christina Rylo, the author of Madly in Love with Me, and she's going to be talking about Madly in Love with Me Day, which is coming up on Thursday, February 13th. So, but before we bring Christine up, let's talk a little bit about, a little bit later on in the show, I'm going to be giving away a pair of free tickets to the Vancouver Wellness Show, which is going to be Valentine's weekend, February 14th, 15th, and 16th at Canada Place here in Vancouver. So keep listening intently for the cue to call for that if you're interested in winning tickets. And I just wanted to let you know too that I'm doing a new meetup group. I probably mentioned it last week on the show. It's called Vancouver Self-Improvement Enthusiasts on meetup.com. So if you want to check that out, go to meetup.com and look it up and you can join us. We do a number of events and I'm doing a book club on how to win friends and influence people on Tuesday nights. So feel free to join us if you're interested in that. Okay, so coming up now, welcome to the show, Christina Rylo. Hi.
Hi there. Hi. So happy to be with you all today. Yay. I love Vancouver. Oh my gosh. It was one of my favorite places. I went on my self-love tour last year. I just had such a ball there.
Awesome. Where were you in Vancouver?
We were in, both North Vancouver, like across the bay and in the city of Vancouver. Then we also spent some time on the Sunshine Coast and then on Gibson's and then also went over to British Columbia. So we kind of did a whole little tour while we were there, did a couple events in Vancouver. So beautiful. Stayed in a beautiful place overlooking the bay there. Oh my gosh, I just like loved Vancouver.
Yay. Well, we love Vancouver too. And we love here. So, let's talk about Madly in Love with Me. It's been a while since I've had you on the show. But maybe you can give us just a recap of the book in case people who maybe they didn't hear the last interview.
Yeah. Well, so my mission in the world that I have just kind of put my stake in the ground is to create a world in which every child born on the planet is born connected to love and stays connected to love, and that they are able to do that because they know how to source love for themselves. And that includes every child inside of us. And in our culture, we don't really talk about self-love. It's one of those things that feels a little like maybe weird or shameful or guilty. If you actually look up self-love in the dictionary, it is defined as conceit, vanity, and narcissism. And so about 11 years ago, I had one of those big wake-up spiritual calls where I realized, mine came, maybe many of you have had one as well, mine came on the feet of a broken engagement, and I was not the one doing the breaking up. And you know, it kind of twirled me around and like, wow, like how did a smart woman like me end up here? And the answer was, well, you have a lot of self-esteem, but you don't love yourself. Like, that was what my inner wisdom said. And I'm like, love myself. Like, I had never really even considered that. And so I made a promise to love myself. And I kept asking people, well, what is self-love and how do you do that? And either the spiritual teachers would give me this very like esoteric, like kind of like, you know, just vast answer that didn't really give me anything to tangible. Or I would get the answer like, well, just be happy. And I'm like, well, that's not really working. So for the last 10, 11 years, I've really practiced on myself and now taught thousands of people around the world what self-love is, how to diagnose where you love yourself well, where you don't love yourself well, because it's not like either you love yourself or you don't love yourself. There's actually different branches, different types of self-love, and different gates of self-love. And so Madly in Love with Me, the book, is really the self-love guidebook to help you understand, oh, okay, I have a lot of self-esteem, great, super strong there, but wow, I'm really weak in self-compassion, which means I'm super successful on the outside, but I beat myself up on the inside. Or maybe for you, you have high self-esteem, but low self-respect, so you rock it in your job, but you are like a disaster in your relationships. And so that's what the book and the movement is about, is helping people really understand where they love themselves, where they don't, so they can grow their love for themselves over the course of their entire life.
Awesome. Well, maybe we could talk a little bit. Oh, first I want to say you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I think I forgot to mention that. And also you may be listening in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio Canada or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com or EmpowerRadio.com or on the Co-Creator Network. And so, Christine, can we talk about what are the different types of self-love? You mentioned self-esteem and some other... What are the ones that are covered in your book?
Yeah, for sure. So everyone, I want you to think of it this way. You might even want to kind of draw this piece of paper. You can draw it, but if not, you can kind of just imagine it. The way that I teach and think about self-love is that self-love is like a tree, and it has 10 branches on it. And you need all 10 of those branches to be strong and growing so that you have a really vibrant tree. And then, of course, you also need the roots of the tree to be really, really strong and also planted in good soil. And so what I'll do for all of you right now, and this is, you know, really the basis of Madly in Love with Me, the book, it breaks it down chapter by chapter. There's one chapter for each branch, but I'll break it down for you right now here. And let's just take a kind of a walk through the self-love tree. And as I tell you each branch, notice which of these are like, oh, yeah, like I'm totally great in that way. And like, oh, wow, like I could really stand to grow that. I often think about it like there's some of my branches on my tree that are a little bit neglected, but maybe some pruning, or some that might even be a little like dead. Seriously, if I'm like, oh my gosh, my self-pleasure branch is dead or close to dead. I've got to revive it this year. So let me tell you the 10 branches and we can talk more about how to actually do something with it. So the first branch is self-acceptance. And self-acceptance is all about really loving yourself for who you are. When this is strong, you don't compare yourself. You acknowledge yourself. You appreciate yourself. You are just like, I really love who I am, and I don't really want to be anybody else. You have a deep adoration for yourself when that branch is strong, and comparison is not part of your dealio. Then the second branch is self-awareness and self-honesty. And when this branch is strong, you know who you are. Like, you really are clear of who you are, and you're also clear about who you're not. And you're not apologizing for who you are, or you're not trying to be something other than who you are, because you know who that is. And you're also really honest with yourself. I know for me, in my former relationship 11 years ago, I was not honest with myself at all. I didn't want to have to see the truth. And so there's ways that we lie to ourselves or we avoid. When this branch is strong, you are really always honest with yourself. And sometimes the branches are like two, Marie, like there's like self-awareness and self-honesty because they're so connected. It's almost like you have like a branch, maybe you have like two branches that kind of splits off from it. So that's the second branch. The third branch is self-care, and that is all about you being able to give yourself what you need no matter what. So you're taking care of yourself first, really filling yourself up emotionally, spiritually, physically, and mentally. And then the fourth branch is self-compassion and self-forgiveness. And that's all about being kind and gentle with yourself, just like you would treat anyone learning how to do anything. Instead of criticism, you choose compassion. And when this branch is strong, you've also really gone back and forgiven yourself for all the ways in which you haven't been there and are able to forgive yourself even in the moment when you let yourself down. Then the next three branches, I call them kind of like the ecstatic ease. There's self-esteem, self-empowerment, and self-expression. Self-esteem is the belief that you can do and be and have anything. It's really self-confidence. Self-empowerment is really going for your dreams and being the king or queen of your own domain. So you can believe in yourself all you want, but if you don't have self-empowerment, you don't ever actually go for your dreams. You kind of think about them a lot, but you don't actually act on them. And then self-expression is the ability to fully and freely be yourself without holding back and without apologizing for who you are. And then the last three branches are self-trust, self-pleasure, and self-respect and honesty. Self-trust is the ability to listen to your own inner wisdom instead of conventional wisdom, to listen to it, to act on it. Self-pleasure is all about choosing joy and the things that bring you happiness, even if they're not productive. This is a hard branch for people who are overworkers. Oftentimes this branch is almost dead, like it was for me a couple of years ago. And then self-respect and self-honor is so much about being sacred and treating yourself as sacred and only being in relationships that honor that that sacredness inside yourself. And then the roots of your tree are self-worth. And this is the deepest level of self-love, is really looking at how you value yourself and the ways in which we devalue ourselves or value ourselves based on external circumstances. And don't believe ourselves worthy, or don't treat ourselves as whole, or are constantly feeling like we're not enough. And that's the roots is self-worth.
Thank you, Christine, for going over all of those branches of the self-love tree. And as you were speaking, I was sort of checking off like, yeah, I'm pretty good in that area. I could use some work in this area. And over the weekend, I had a breakup with someone I'd been seeing off and on for a while, and something it just sort of came to like a major head, and I was like, this is absolutely not, I can't accept this in my relationships anymore. It was like really a self-respect issue. But I was wondering, because I'm sort of was looking at maybe the areas that he needed to work on as well, and so I want to ask your opinion. If you're lacking in a certain area, do you find, like, say, one of the problems with I felt like there wasn't enough boundaries or self-respect on his part, and that was influencing our relationship. And I'm just wondering if maybe now, thinking of that, if maybe that's also an area that I want to work on, which is why I'm attracting people with those problems into my life. What's been your experience with that?
Well, I think that oftentimes in romantic relationships, we can connect at what I would call the holes instead of the wholeness. So we all, every single one of us on this phone, were born in total love. Like, we are loved, we're born. It's like, I always kind of think of this as these big bouncing pink hearts. We're like, hey, I'm here, world, here I am. I'm so excited to love you. You're going to love me. It's going to be so much fun. And then you go along your life for however long you get to do it for, in that state of really being connected to love. And then at some point you meet someone who's been on the planet for a little bit longer, and you reach out to love with them, and they respond with fear or blame or shame or guilt or something, and that beautiful pink heart of yours suffers what I call a love crack. And that love crack there's like a wound and it opens up, and that's where fear comes in, and it kind of takes up residence until at some point as an adult you come back around and really heal those love cracks and heal them by filling up those love cracks with love. And oftentimes in relationships, like you're saying, Marie, that that can often be where we connect with people at. We connect at the holes. And so, for example, if you are a person, like I know with my former person that I'm now married to, a very awesome man. We're connected at our wholeness. We actually are two wholes that come together to be even better. And we don't connect at our wounds. Like we literally actually are like very aware. We're like, no connecting at the love cracks. I see your cracks. You see my cracks. You got to heal yours. Heal mine. I'll love you, you know, through that, but it's not my job. So like in my former relationship, we both had some, you know, pretty big love cracks around abandonment and rejection. You know, his father wasn't around. My father died early. Just things like that that happened to you. And so we were constantly like in this place where we were activating each other's love cracks, and we didn't have the ability to communicate that that's what was going on. But when I met Noah, I remember he actually had a very similar past as my former relationship, a non-existent father. And I remember the moment we were sitting out in Chicago at the lake, and his father was about to die, and he had a lot of emotions up. And I could feel Noah wanting to put me in his hole, into that like love crack. And I'm like, and I just stopped him. I'm like, you know what? You have to heal that crack yourself. I'm like, I will love you unconditionally. I will help you find help to do that if you need it, but you can't stuff me in that love crack. Like, I'm not going in there. Like, my love can't go in there. You have to fill it with your own love and the love of the divine. And so there was an awareness around that. So, Marie, I think, yeah, I mean, it can absolutely happen. Oftentimes it does, until we make the decision to not connect at that place, but instead do our own healing and be supportive of the other person, but not trying to fix or rescue them.
Okay, thank you, Christine. I really appreciate you sharing that story about you and Noah. And I need some more clarification. So when you say filling the love cracks, what exactly, from a behavioral standpoint, what tangibly does that look like?
So I'll give you an example of one of my best friends who was now divorced, married a guy that... Our intuition was like, don't even date this guy. He will ruin your life. And so, of course, you know, we don't listen to our intuition. So what does she do? Marry him and then have two kids with them. And he's still, you know, divorced them. And he's still making her crazy. They met and they connected. Their love crack was all about him not feeling like he was enough, because he went to a very Ivy League school, but like was the poor kid. And she was the poor kid. In her, like, she was the poor rich kid, like lots of people around her, very wealthy. Her family was still wealthy, but not as wealthy. And so they both had this love crack of like, I'm not enough. I don't have enough. So they came together to really thinking, oh, well, you know, we'll make money together and then we'll finally both be enough. And so when they were making money together, because he was a trader, like life was okay. Like, you know, they were buying things, they were buying big houses. But as soon as the money went away, both of them got activated in their fear. And this is how you know when a love crack has been activated and when you're connected at that kind of at a practical level, is your fear starts to come up and your anxiety starts to come up and your defensiveness starts to come up and you start to put your, you know, kind of stuff on the other person. And so when fear is present, that's when you know that a love crack has been activated. But most of us don't, like if you're in a situation where you're in a relationship, and you're afraid, we all have different ways that we respond. Like, I'm afraid, oftentimes I get angry. Sometimes people who are afraid, they get sad. Other people shut down. So you have to know and learn how fear shows up for you and how you respond when one of your love cracks gets activated. And they also know that about your partner, so that in the moment you can be like, oh my gosh, our love cracks are the ones that are now having a relationship. And to be able to name that, so that you can actually stop and reconnect at love and get like, wow, I get you're really scared right now because we're not making any money. Or I get that you're really scared because you're feeling like, you know, we're going to lose everything. And then lean into love, and that's when the love cracks start to actually heal in relationship. And sometimes you can't even heal a love crack outside of a relationship. It actually takes a relationship to do it if you have a partner that connects you and lean in with you. And that's the big if.
So what do you do if... you're in a relationship where there's perhaps maybe you did connect because of your love cracks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet this is someone that you would like to be with.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to move beyond that? Or, I mean, I guess both people have to be prepared to work on themselves. You can't just be like, well, if you want to be with me, you have to fix all these things about yourself. They have to recognize those things and want to work on them.
Yes, you cannot. Like one of the biggest learnings I had in what I wrote about in my first book, which is Choosing Me Before We, which is all about my journey around romantic relationships and self-respect and self-love and self-honor and the difference between what I did with my ex-person and then what I learned to do with Noah, is that, you know, it's about leaning in. This is how I always say, whether you know that you have a partner versus you trying to fix somebody. Because oftentimes, especially if you have a love crack and you're in a relationship with someone who has a love crack, or a similar love crack, you want to fix that person or rescue that person because it's easier to work on them than it is to work on yourself, right?
Yep.
And so my first rule that I really got was never date a person's potential, never marry a person's potential, and stop fixing. Like, it is not your job. It is actually so egotistical of any of us to try to fix. But that doesn't mean that we don't support and we don't love and we don't serve. And so the question that we always have to ask ourselves in relationship is how can I be of service to this person? Because sometimes, you know, there's something about having the love and support of somebody in relationship that allows us to do things for ourselves maybe that we might not do otherwise. But you can't pull someone over the fence. So say, for example, Marie, like you're saying, like, so say there's like you in the sky. And, you know, he has love cracks, you have love cracks, and they're definitely getting activated in the relationship. What needs to occur is you have to lean in, right? You lean in and you say, oh, okay, I see this is what's happening. Here's the awareness. Here's what's happening. Here's the love cracks that are happening for me. Here's what's happening for you. Here's how fear is showing up for both of us. And then when you lean in to your partner and you say, okay, I'm willing to work on my piece, and I'm willing to totally, you know, support you and serve you as you work on your piece. Do you want to change this? That's number one. Do you want to change this? And if the person says no, then you believe them, and that's the end of that. If they say, yes, I want to, then the second question is, are you willing to? See, because you can want to change all day long, but if you're not willing to, then it doesn't matter, because you'll just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And when you say, ask that question, are you willing to, what happens is you activate divine, you activate spirit, you activate providence, divine, God, spirit, whatever you want to call it. When you say, yes, I am willing to surrender this, to change this, please, like, surrender, divine, help me. Because in that moment, when you're dealing with love cracks, it's kind of like, I don't know how to love yourself without spirit. I don't know how to do it. Can't help you there. If you want to do it without a spiritual connection, you got to talk to somebody else, because I've never seen it work. So you got to, you know, surrender to spirit. Spirit, help me. And then the third question, okay, like, what's one action? What's one action I can take, small but mighty action, to reach out for support? Because what happens for people and most of us is we think we can do it on our own, and you can't. You cannot make these changes on yourself by yourself. I mean, I've worked with therapists and healers and, you know, done retreats where I do the work that I do. We need to get that support. And yeah, there's some things that you can do on your own, but most of it requires the support and love of other people, professionals, and also just people who can help hold that space for you. And those are the three things you have to ask your partner and ask yourself. And if they're not willing, if they're not wanting, willing, or able to take a step, then you may not have the partnership, and you have to be able to choose me before we and release that partnership. And even in my marriage with Noah, we've been married, I don't know, 8 years or whatever. We never promised forever. Never, ever, ever. We said we would stay together as long as it was good for both of us and we were both happy. And there have been times where we're like, I don't know, but we can't be attached to that, you know. But what happens is we keep leaning in. We're both committed to ourselves, and that's the most important thing. You can't change for anyone else but yourself.
Mm. That's I'm so glad that we're having this conversation just before Valentine's Day, and I do want to talk about your self madly in love with me self madly in love with me day coming up on Thursday, February 13th. But I'm really, it's feels like perfect timing to have this conversation, and it's interesting how just the other day my girlfriend called me wanting me to go to this singles event with her, and I have to admit I was a little bit maybe the tone in my voice might have been a little bit bitchy, because I was kind of like, well, I have a date for Valentine's Day. And I always have a date for Valentine's Day usually. And now I don't. So I'm going to be taking care of myself. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are single. And even if you're in a relationship, you know, we put so much stock into Valentine's Day. When really it's just another day, and we have all these expectations, it's almost like Christmas or New Year's, when really the best form of love we can get is just taking care of ourselves.
Yes, I have a whole, I totally agree, and I have, I could say so much about this, because this is like, I've been just like talking about this for years, it's so important. Is that why I created, one of the reasons I created Self-Love Day, which is February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day. Because February 14th, you all, is like a day of misery for most people. If you're single, you feel lonely. If you're in a relationship, you put these ridiculous expectations to make this one day be about the day that you are going to profess your love for me or create some superhuman feat, you know? And so it is. It's often like New Year's Day. We all know how New Year's Eve goes, right? You get all dressed up. You spend hundreds of dollars on your hair and dress. You go to the party, and the party is like nowhere near as good as, you know, as good as the expectation. So there's all these unrealistic expectations. And no one, I actually don't celebrate Valentine's Day the way it's, okay, there's no, he doesn't buy me flowers, there's no chocolate, there's no dinner. Like, I get flowers throughout the year. He buys me chocolate whenever I ask him to get me chocolate. Like, there's a professed love every day. I don't want one day to have to be everything. Because what happens also, this is how we mask relationships that aren't going so well. I remember my former relationship, I'd be like, okay, you know, Valentine's Day, we'll, you know, profess our love for each other, and that will get us through another 6 months. Which sometimes it did, but it was just a band-aid for a relationship that was full of love cracks all over the place. So on Valentine's Day, I actually celebrate it as a love day, like just pure love. I love everyone. So I will love on the barista. I will go and get flowers sometimes, and I'll go totally Hare Krishna and just pass flowers out. I draw little hearts on my money, and I just pass those out when I go to pay for things. Like, I'm like, my job today is just to be loved. It's like when we were little kids in third grade, everyone gets a Valentine's Day, a Valentine's. Everyone gets a Valentine. So Self-Love Day, February 13th, is the day you fill up for love with yourself, and you're all invited to the self-love party. It's being broadcast around the world. You can go to selfloveparty.com, and every year I do an event that gets broadcast around the world where we help you see where you love yourself, where you don't, and you take a big promise, and then you fill up with love. And then on the 14th, who cares if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whoever? Like, your job is to go out and give love. And the more love you give, the more that's going to come back. I'm a big believer in multiple streams of love, just like multiple streams of income, multiple streams of love. Not just one source, like a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife, but multiple sources. So you have pets and you have friends and you have the barista and you have, you know, like many different, at least seven streams of love. You don't have at least seven. Definitely have to build your love wealth this year.
And what is the, why the magic number of seven? What does that mean?
It just feels like it's enough. You know, it feels like it's enough. It's like there's, it's for me, I remember a couple of years ago, probably about seven right now, I was walking down the street in San Francisco, and I was having a really hard day, and I had just gotten back from this big expo that I went to by myself. And I just needed to call somebody, and Noah wasn't there. And I looked at my phone, and I realized that I only had one other person, maybe two, that I could call to discuss, that could hold me, that could really be with me in this. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I do not have enough sources of love in my life, that I only have these, you know, like, Noah was busy, my friend Tario, she wasn't available, and my friend Ann wasn't available either. So it's like, in that moment, I stopped, and like, I am not wealthy in love, and I need to make sure that I increase my love wealth by increasing the number of people and places I could go to receive love. Because here's the thing, and this is about self-love too. You're not just supposed to get love from one place. There's actually three, I call it the holy trinity of love. There's love from self, there's love from others, and there's love from the divine. And you need those three things present in your life at all times, fully activated. And then the multiple sources are really, you know, yourself and other in spirit. But then there's like usually at least five other places, five other soul friends or soul beings, or it could be a place that you go to, a community center, like really knowing, because you need love. Every Marie, you, me, everyone, we all need love. And the feeling that love gets taken away, which is usually the way we feel when we go through a breakup or if we're alone on a specific day, is actually an illusion. Because no one can take love away from you. It's impossible. Love is everywhere. Love is free. But we don't know how to look for it, and we don't know how to source it. And that's what I'm inviting us all to do. And it starts with self-love. That's the place it has to start.
Thank you, Christine. Before we go to a break, I just want to clarify one more thing. The love of self, the love of others, and the love of divine, the holy love trinity. But you were talking about when you noticed that you were lacking in love. And one of the things I'm working on with my therapist is my abandonment issues. Mm-hmm. And during my last, over the holidays, it was really especially hard for me. It's always tough for many people. And I was sort of on the verge of breaking up. And it was really, really stressful time. And I was looking for people to turn to. I was, you know, but people are busy. And so for me, when I noticed, well, everyone's busy, especially because it's the holidays, that really triggers my abandonment issues. So I just want to clarify that. And one of the things my therapist said is, you know, there's just because someone is in your life and loves you, it doesn't mean that they're always going to be able to be around for you every time you need them. And so mm-hmm. you need to still, even though you can reach out and look for people and you can call on 20 different people, they may all be busy. And then you still need to ultimately take care of yourself. So can we talk a little bit more about that?
Because yeah.
I'll
say two things about it. Now, first of all, I would love, Marie, and anyone listening, if we could release the word issues, as if there's something wrong with you.
Oh, but I have so many of them.
There's nothing wrong with you. You have an abandonment love crack. That's it. You got a lot. I got one too. It's one of the biggest ones. And there was a big green hairy monster that used to live in there. But it's not an issue. There's nothing wrong with you, sweetie. That's your brand of love crack. We all have it. So okay. I think for me, when I claim that it's like, this is my love crack and I'm going to love it and I'm going to heal it, it is more loving and compassionate than using the word issue. So that's an invitation I make to all of us.
Okay.
And then the second piece is that, and I remember when I really got this spiritual teaching, I was like, oh my God, that's totally it, is that the love that we receive, and this is going to kind of be deep, so everyone, like, open up your deepness here, because I'm going to go deep here with you all, is the love that you receive from any one individual or any multiple individuals is just the love of the divine coming through them. This is why love can never be taken away. And so those moments when, say, you're like, especially when the crack's really activated, and a lot of times for us, that those of us that have the abandonment love crack, where it goes is into deep loneliness. And, like, I've never really experienced anything, like, as black and empty as loneliness. Like, it's such a deep crack. And it's a crack that starts even at birth when we get separated from source. So it's really deep. And oftentimes when that crack is really activated, there's a way in which no one will be available to be that channel of divine love for you, because spirit is really calling you to come back to spirit, to come back to God, to come back to divine, whatever that is for you, and to come back to yourself, to realize that love never left you. And so there's almost like a cosmic joke that happens in that moment, because it forces you in that moment to get, oh my God, I really have to turn inward and connect into spirit. And so for me, in those moments of, like, when I'm reaching out to 5, 7, 20 people and no one is responding, I know that the love isn't supposed to be coming through them, that I have to really go inside and there's something deeper, a deeper healing that's available to me if I can turn to spirit, if I can turn to myself.
Mm. And I want to add also, because sometimes even when you are able to connect with another human being, you don't you still don't get what you need from them.
Well, not if you're looking for them to give it to you.
Exactly.
Right? So this is where you have to get that the love that's coming through them isn't even them. It's divine love. Right? And so it's like when you start, that's where codependency gets created. When it feels so good that it comes from that person and you believe like, oh my God, that's my only source or that's special source. And it might even be special because it comes through that way. But it's not the only place. It's not really even them. And so like for me, like what I'll do in those moments when I like the loneliness of the loneliness is I'll go into nature. Like I'm looking at these trees right now. It's like I'll go for a walk. I will hug a tree, like for real. I will be with flowers. Like there's some way of connecting. I will lay on the ground. Like that's one way I connect to that love. Second way is I will go to a spiritual center. I'll go to like a center for spiritual living. I'll go to a Unity church because they are just full of love. Like the reason I go to those places is because everyone's singing and loving, and I'll sit there and my heart will open and I'll start to cry and all this love will come into my heart. That's the second way. The third way is I will do a self-love soak. I will go into the bathtub, put salt water in there, and put some beautiful music on. One of my favorites is called Returning by Jennifer Beerzon. I think she's actually Canadian. She's awesome. It's called Returning, and it brings you back. It's music that brings you back into like to the womb of the Great Mother. Like it's just beautiful, and I will just put myself in the bath and just imagine myself being hugged and loved by like the divine mother, the divine father, like if, you know, as if the divine was a mom or a dad, and just like allowing myself to be engulfed in that energy. Those are the things that can really put love into your love crack instead of chocolate or wine or shopping or, you know, whatever addiction might come in that moment.
Thank you. Well, we have gone so over before a break, over time. So I am going to put you on hold here. And we are talking with Christine Arilo. She is the author of Madly in Love with Me. And coming up on February 13th, she's having a self-love party, Madly in Love with Me Day. So you can go to selfloveparty.com if you want to get involved with that, if you want to do an event. And just connect with other people or find ways to experience and express self-love on your own, lots of different ways. So we'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. You can find me at spiritualshow.com. And if you have a question for Christine, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. If you have a question or the first person to call in, 604-822-2487, you got to do it during the break so I actually have the chance to speak with you off the air. You will have a pair of tickets to the Vancouver Wellness Show, which is coming up 14th, 15th, and 16th of February here in Vancouver at Canada Place. So that's 604-822-2487. You got to call me right now if you want those tickets. We will be back with more synchronicity in just a moment.
Studying abroad looks great on your resume and opens doors for exciting career paths. Don't miss the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Wednesday, February 26th from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Vancouver Convention Center, East Ballroom. Admission is free. Come early at 2 p.m. to listen to our guest seminar on how to access over $100 million worth of scholarships for your studies. Check the website on studyandgoabroad.com.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
If you are 65 years of age or older, you may be eligible to participate in a free exercise program offered at the YMCA in Surrey, Langara, and downtown Vancouver as part of a research study being conducted by the University of British Columbia. In this program, you are invited to attend exercise classes offered 3 days per week for 3 months. If you are interested, call Dr. Samantha Harden at 604-822-9140. Again, the number is 604-822-9140. More information at goal.kin.educ.ubc.ca.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and right now we are speaking with Christine Arilo. She's the author of Madly in Love with Me, and coming up on February 13th, she's having a self-love party. You can go to selfloveparty.com if you want to get involved with that. Welcome back to the show, Christine.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yay. Is there anything more that you want to say about this self-love party? What are the things that are going to be going on? You mentioned a broadcast.
Yes. So Self-Love Day, February 13th, in addition to being the day to like love yourself right before Valentine's Day, is a day where I invite every person on the planet to choose a branch of self-love that really wants to be loved on and grown in this year, so 2014, and make a promise to yourself that you're going to keep all year long. And so we always make those, well, I don't make resolutions. I think resolutions are awful because they're made from a place of guilt and shame. And of course, we never really do a good job at them. But we make goals and intentions in January. And so in February, it's a time to really make a promise to yourself. This is what's most important to you, to keep this promise to yourself no matter what. So on Self-Love Day, I do the broadcast that will be broadcast around the world via live stream video. And it'll be me doing a self-love promise ceremony where I help you identify, do a meditation with you to help you find the self-love branch that's really calling you forward, and then help you create, find, and make a self-love promise. And then my friends Karen Drucker, who's an amazing songwriter, singer, will be there singing. My friend Shiloh Sophia McLeod, who's an artist and poet, will be there doing poetry. And what happens when you take the promise, and people from all over the world also participate. Some people do their own self-love parties. Last year we had 41 countries had self-love parties. So we also have almost 1,000 love ambassadors that during the month of February, either on the 13th or on different days, throw parties in their own homes, which you can do too. And the reason I do this and why it's so important is because, remember, I was saying self-love has to be practical, right? It's not like, just love yourself. It's like, okay, what does that mean? How do you do that? And by identifying a branch and making a promise, what happens is that what I found, Marie, and everyone listening, is that it's not that you don't know how to love yourself. Like, you guys know the things to do, right? I should only have loving relationships. I should, treat my body well. I should go out there in the world and give my gifts. I should be the brightest me that I can be. I could list 25 things and ask you the question, do you know that this is good for you? You'd be like, yeah. We actually know the things to do to be loving, be compassionate, take care of yourself. But there's something, how many times have you heard, put the oxygen mask on yourself before putting it on somebody else? And yet, how hard is it for you to actually do the things that are self-caring, self-compassionate? What we are struggling with and what you struggle with is giving yourself permission in the moment to choose love for yourself over guilt, shame, blame, fear, criticism, stress, pressure, et cetera, all the things you've been conditioned to do. So when you take a self-love promise, for example, 2 years ago, I realized that my self-pleasure branch was pretty dried up. Self-pleasure being about really making sure that your soul is nourished, that your soul needs joy. It needs joy to feel nourished. And while I was traveling the world speaking, and I was, my my books were doing great, and I was teaching workshops and classes, and I loved my work so much. My passion had really consumed me. My work had consumed me. And I had forgotten that I was just a girl. You know, it was like I was this machine, this self-love machine. And the little girl in me was like seriously about ready to go on strike. Like, she's like, I just want to go watch a movie. I just want to hang out, you know, with my friends. Like, I was working way too much and not having enough play. So I made the choice to choose that branch. And then I decided to make a promise. My promise was, no matter how much work there is to do, and for any of you that are overgivers, overworkers, overdoers, you can totally borrow this promise too. No matter how much work I have to do, I will always create space for fun. So what happens is then in your life, situations will come up and you will be at a choice point to either choose love for yourself in that way or guilt, shame, overwork, overdoing, overgiving. So one day I was hanging out with my good friend, Shiloh Sophia, who's going to be at the party, and Amy Ehlers, who teaches Inner Mean Girl Reform School with me. And we were planning this retreat, and we worked all day, and it was so much fun. But it was 5 o'clock, and we were done, and I had to go. I had, like, I was getting ready to sell my house and go on the road and do this big tour. And I'm like, and Shiloh's like, hey, let's stay and have wine and, like, have, you know, have some dinner. And all I could think was, I have so much work to do. I don't have time for this. And then all of a sudden, that promise came into my head, into my mind, into my being, my awareness, like a best friend's voice, right? Because it's all about you being a best friend to yourself. And the voice said, Christine, remember, you promised me, you said no matter how much work, you'd find time for fun. So in that moment, that promise gave me the permission that I needed, just like a best friend would, to actually stay and have wine and have dinner with my friends, which I did. And so then, of course, the next day I wake up, and what happens? I get my work done so much faster than I would have had I gone home and toiled and continued working. And this is how you start to change your patterns and start to change your behaviors so that you can choose love over criticism, fear, guilt, shame, et cetera. So that's what February 13th is about. And if you can't come live, you can also just sign up and RSVP. It's free at selfloveparty.com. I will send you the recording so that you can also watch the video, and it has a full self-love promise kit in it that actually takes you through how to make the promise with yourself.
Cool. And so you mentioned that you can be a self-love ambassador. So There are self-love ambassadors in BC. Do you like find you connect with them, or is that just a self-love ambassador for the people that they know already?
Yeah, no, if you actually go to jointeamlove.com, you can join up to become a love ambassador. So jointeamlove.com, it's free. And then there's a whole Facebook private community site we have for all love ambassadors where you can hook up with other people that are in your city. We share information on how to share the love, and it's just everyone. And if you are a person who believes in the power of love and you like to be love, give love, be part of the movement of love and self-love, then I totally invite you to become a love ambassador. And just go to jointeamlove.com. And there are, in fact, some pretty awesome love ambassadors in British Columbia.
Cool. How fun. There's actually a woman in my meetup group that I was mentioning earlier, Vancouver Self-Improvement Enthusiasts. See, my self-love, I'm like always thinking I have to improve myself. I'm never good enough. Right there. Yeah. Anyway, she is doing, I don't know if she's a love ambassador, but she's doing something on February 13th, like a little love party or potluck dinner thing. So, you could just do something like that, or you could have your friends over. What are some of the other things people do?
There's all kinds of things. Actually, when you sign up to be a love ambassador, there's a full self-love party pack that I actually created that has like 10 different super fun ideas in it. So sometimes people get together and they do a movie night, and there's like 3 different really awesome movies that we recommend that you can watch with your friends. There's also some really fun some fun activities. There's one that's called Making a Me Print, where you actually lay on a big piece of paper, trace out your silhouette, and then create a collage of yourself and have people reflect back to you what they see. There's just like all kinds of just funness that happens, and that's free if you sign up to be a love ambassador.
Awesome. Well, I would like to play a song about love to close this show. So I'm going to be wrapping up in a couple of minutes. And I'm just wondering, what are some of the main points that you really want people to take home, in addition to selfloveparty.com and signing up as a love ambassador at jointeamlove.com?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things. One, I think that I've really found that making these promises to yourself are they really become anchor points that allow you to make those loving choices. So remember that it's something you don't know how to love yourself. It's that you're struggling with permission. And so whether you come to the self-love party, you become a love ambassador, if you sign up for the self-love party, that kind of remember, you also get the self-love promise kit that actually has a whole list of different promises. Just really go into your life knowing that you have the ability to be your own best friend. And you know what to do as a best friend for other people. And what I'm asking you to do for yourself is to be a best friend to yourself. And it's hard in our culture because you've been conditioned, even if you believe that self-love is a good thing, you've been conditioned on so many levels, which if you read Madly in Love with Me, you'll hear more about where that all comes from and why it's so hard. This is why I call it a revolution. This is our generation's thing. Like, we don't need to put our bras. We actually need to stand up and be like, you know what? This life, like living this way, is unsustainable. It's unsustainable. I can't do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. And I'm enough, just who I am right now. And, you know, whether you're a mom or you're an aunt or you're a godmother, it's like our children watch us. And so if we're not respecting ourselves, caring for ourselves, whatever, we're teaching them the same habits, just like our mothers taught us. And I believe that self-love is the answer to everything, because if you love yourself and you know how to find love, even when it's hard, you can get through anything. And if you've ever gone through anything that was difficult, you know that love is what pulled you out. So I just invite you to be part of the movement, to consider taking a promise with yourself this year, to join me, and to, you know, in those moments when you're struggling, just stop, put your hand on your heart, even want to do it right now, is close your eyes, put your hand on your heart, take a deep breath in, and ask yourself, if I was being a best friend to myself right now, what would my best friend tell me? What do you need to hear right now? My best friend told me to say, you're doing the best that you can, Christine, and it's enough. And so whatever your best friend told you, take that as your love mantra for the day. And in times of fear, just bring that up when your love track gets up activated. And if you didn't get one today, try it again later or make one up.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Christine. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you. And thank you for the work that you do and for spreading the love. And yeah, I just really appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Marie. And just sending much love to everyone. Looking forward to being with you on Self-Love Day.
Yay. Okay. Well, happy Self-Love Day. Take care. Bye-bye. So that was Christine Arilo. She's the author of Madly in Love with Me. And again, the websites, if you want to take part, selfloveparty.com. And if you want to sign up to be a self-love ambassador, you can go to jointeamlove.com. Or, you know, you can just do your own thing. Whatever, you know, whatever way you want to bring love to the world or into your life, you know, put your hand on your heart and feel what feels best for you. If those websites are kind of calling to you, then go check them out. And if you want to do something on your own, I totally support that too. So I'm going to close this show with a couple of songs about love. One of them is Ziggy Marley, Love is My Religion, one of the bestest songs ever. And I just want to say happy Self-Love Day, happy Valentine's Day. And I always close the show with telling you how much I love you. I love you so much. Be well. Namaste.
Yeah. Love is my religion. Love is my religion. I'll take you to the temple tonight. All my days I've been searching to find out what this life is worth. Through the books and Bibles of time, made up my mind. I don't condemn, I don't convert. Yeah.
his spirits have to soar. With you I share the gift. Searching now, I found out what this life is worth. Yeah. Not in the books did I find, but by searching my mind. I don't condemn, I don't convert. This is the calling.
Okay, so coming up in just a moment is Parts Unknown here on CITR, and I'm just going to close the show with some Theta Phoenix. Be well.
I am looking at your face. Thinking of your warm embrace, the way your arms feel round me so safe. I don't know why I feel so out of place. Baby, I've been hurt before.
To begin to love.
grow, you've got to give it time. Like a flower, petals unfold. What was once a seed becomes a rose.
Abroad looks great on your resume and opens doors for exciting. Don't miss the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Wednesday, February 26th from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Vancouver Convention Center, East Ballroom. Admission is free. Come early at 2 p.m. to listen to our guest seminar on how to access over $100 million worth of scholarships for your studies. Check the website on Study and Go.